Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
In our lives. This is the month of January. I shared on last week that a lot of people want this month to be the one where you hear about this is going to be your season, this is going to be your year for your breakthrough, your new house, new car, new boo. And I'm saying, as believers, I want to see us mature to being more than simply churchgoers, more than simply Christians entitled, but people who actually put God first. We looked at last week, and when we do that, the Word of God says all the other stuff that folks pray for, get lines for, get their offering for, they get prayer calls for, all the other stuff, God said, will be added to us. Jesus said, will be added to us. And so I want to make sure we get our priorities right so that we're putting God first in our lives. If you have your Bible, your book of instruction before leaving Earth, I invite your attention to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, we began there on last week, we're still in Matthew. Next week will be in Matthew as well. Give you a preview of coming attractions. I encourage you to read Matthew from 16 to 19. Next week we'll be in Matthew chapter number 19. This week we're in Matthew chapter number 16. Beginning with verse 21, when you find it, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter number 16, beginning with verse number 21. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. When you've got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, there we go. That's pretty good. Matthew chapter number 16, reading down through verse 21. Here's what God's word says. From the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he was to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he, being Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of God for the people of God. The word of God is already blessed. You all know how we roll on Sunday morning. Do me a favor, put a smile on your face. Look at me with a smile on your face. Doing a quick smile, check, smile. There we go, smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Glad you're in church.
Glad
this morning's sermon is
learning to be a disciple.
Look at another neighbor, look at another neighbor with a smile on your face. Neighbor!
Neighbor!
Hey!
Hey!
How you doing?
Glad
in church.
This morning, sermon is
learning to be a disciple. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Learning to be a disciple. Will you pray with me? Fathers, once again, that I stand to proclaim your word, I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Sounding out, wait for me. But in my Lord, thy will to see, open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine. Lord, prepare us to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Learning to be a disciple. I have this app on my phone, y'all, that's a blessing for me. You may have the same app on your phone. You may have found it as a blessing for you. And that is the app called Waze. W-A-Z-E, Waze. For those who follow me on social media, every now and then on social media, I will go off. I will go on rants. Y'all pray for Pastor. I got some struggles. And most of my rants deal with traffic in the DMV. There's something about me that seems to attract traffic, and it's a frustration for me. However, Waze. The app Waze helps me when I am in traffic. Waze will find a way for me to get around the traffic to get to my destination in a shorter period of time. Every now and then, Waze gives me way too much information. Waze is the kind of app that will tell you there's a pothole 300 feet ahead, there's two squirrels playing on the side of the road. Waze sometimes goes overboard with information. However, when I want to avoid traffic, Waze gets me around it. Every now and then, I got some problems in traffic. There are some of us here who also are like me. If you got somewhere to go, and you are sitting behind a person at a stoplight, and the light turned green. I know you, Christian. You've been in church, grew up in church, but that light turns green, and for whatever reason, they've got a cognitive disconnect, and you speak in known tongues, and you encourage them by blowing your horn. Anybody have had those struggles before? I just need you to go, because now you are hindering me from going to where I want to go. I've got some struggles. Y'all pray for me. Here, one of my struggles, y'all, is when I go to the grocery store. There's one in Laurel. That's not even a grocery store. It's Blue. It's right across from Target. Walmart. Now, when you go to Walmart, you got to already have your mind right when you go in there. And so one of the frustrations I have, y'all, is to go to Walmart, you know you need two items. You go pick up what you need to pick up, and you get in the short line. That's two folk in front of you. The line on the left side of you got 19 people in it. But for whatever reason, you just so happen to get in the line where there's one person who struggles with that new chip, and you mad, they mad, the cashier mad, and you see the other line with 19 people moving, and you have to now have a conversation with yourself. Do I stay here? Because many of us don't like to wait. We don't want the frustration. We got people to see, places to go, and things to do. But much of that comes from our human nature, from nature itself, which is to choose a path of least resistance. When in a grocery store, we want the path of least resistance. When in traffic, we want the path of least resistance. Husbands with their wives, and there was a heated conversation, you want the path, yes, I am sorry, path of least resistance. But the challenge that comes, brothers and sisters, that sometimes, as Christians, we bring that same human survival tactic to our relationship with God. And we then view our Christianity, our relationship with God, as something that should never have difficulties, as something that we should never meet resistance in. As a matter of fact, some of us would say we're not even in the will of God if there is ever any difficulty. Come closer, let me help you with something. Not every Christian is a disciple, but every disciple is a Christian. Let me say that one more time. Not every Christian is a disciple, but every disciple is a Christian. There is a difference between being a Christian and being a disciple. A Christian is someone who acknowledges that God exists and they acknowledge that they are a sinner in need of God's salvation. They accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And some Christians may even come to church on Sunday morning. But being a Christian isn't a bad thing. Being a Christian isn't the same as being a disciple. A disciple is someone like a Christian that acknowledges that God exists and accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And then they make the purposeful decision to put God's interest above their own. A disciple is someone who puts God first in their life. And the problem that we have is that many of us in church have been content with being Christian, and we never become disciples who put God first. And the reason many of us choose to be Christian rather than disciple is because salvation is free. Being a Christian is free, but discipleship costs you something.
Yes, sir.
Many of us want the blessings of being a Christian, not the sacrifice involved in being a disciple. So we'll pray, God, expand my territory. We won't pray, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. We don't pray, not my will, but your will be done. No, God, I want you to do my will and like my will. My goal as a pastor is to help develop disciples who put God first in every area of their lives. Disciples who value prayer. Disciples who actually open the Word of God and read it for themselves, not just on Sunday morning. Disciples who make sacrifices for God. Disciples who take an active interest in sharing the gospel. Disciples who put God and God's interests first. Jesus helps us understand what's involved in discipleship by talking to his disciples about following him. Here we are once again in the Gospel of Matthew, where we learn principles from Jesus about putting God first. Let me share with you now, my brothers and my sisters, this sermon series in general is not one that is meant to shout you, but it's meant to grow you. So it's not the cupcake type of thing. It's going to be sweet to you, but it's going to be good for you. So I want you to make sure you're paying attention before I even dive into the meat of the text. It's going to help us in the end. We are dealing with Jesus and discipleship. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, y'all, they have been with Jesus for a while. Some have left their fishing business to follow Jesus. Matthew had left his tax collecting job to follow Jesus. They had already left some things to follow Jesus. They heard Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount tell them the importance of seeking first the kingdom of God. They were there. They heard it. They seen Jesus heal lepers and make the paralyzed people walk. They heard Jesus tell them things like, I send you out like sheep amongst the wolves. They've heard him say things like, he who loves his father, a mother, a son, or daughter more than me isn't worthy of me. They've seen Jesus heal both 5,000 and 4,000. They've seen him even walk on water. As a matter of fact, y'all, Peter got out the boat and walked on the water with Jesus too. When we get to the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus asks his disciples his followers, "Who do people say I am?" They answered, "Some say you are John the Baptist, others say you are Elijah, others say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus said to them, "I got what other people are saying, but who do you say that I am?" Then Peter, one of the first disciples he called, Peter, the one who left his dad's fishing boat just to follow Jesus, Peter, the one who actually walked on the water, Peter boldly says, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Peter, and on this revelation, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it." Once they got who he was, y'all, the entire plot line of Matthew changes. Once they got who Jesus was, the conversations Jesus had with his disciples changed. After that, Jesus began telling them that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and raised on the third day. Watch this. When Jesus' conversation moves from talking about the kingdom of God is like this, or this is how you pray, when Jesus isn't talking about healing people or the problems with the Pharisees, when he starts talking about the sacrifice, Peter, one of the first disciples, Peter, the one who left his daddy's fishing boat to follow Jesus, Peter, the one who actually walked on water, Peter, the one who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Peter then says, "No, this can't happen." And Jesus has to rebuke him and tells him, "Get behind me, Satan. Peter, you are not putting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. You are not putting God first." Then Jesus has a conversation with his disciples about what's involved in being a disciple. The first thing we see in the text right here, brothers and sisters, in verse 24, is that discipleship is a choice. Discipleship is a choice. Jesus says to them, in verse 24, "If anyone wishes to follow me." I don't want y'all to read past that too quickly, y'all. We are in chapter 16 of Matthew's gospel. Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to follow me." This statement is amazing because Jesus is giving them an option. He, in essence, frees them at this point to make a decision. Are you sure you want to go to the next level? Maybe you just wanted to say that you were with me. Maybe you just wanted to get away from home. Maybe you were content with the miracles. Maybe you really just enjoyed the crowd. Maybe you liked the teachings. After all, the word disciple really means just a student of someone. Maybe you wanted to see me as your teacher, someone to give you nice statements that you could quote to others. Maybe you just like the excitement of it all. If that's the case, fine. I'm giving you an option to stop right here. He's giving them a choice. The A clause of verse 24 is important because he's saying to them, what comes next isn't for weak people. And the challenge that many of us have in our Christian walk is that so many of us are stuck in verse 24 of the 16th chapter of our walk with God, and we've never got any further. We're running around looking for the next excitement, running around looking for the next miracle, running around looking for the next breakthrough, looking for the next show, and still wondering why you aren't growing as a believer. You know people who are just like that. They say things like, "Church isn't the same as it used to be. I used to get goosebumps, but now I don't feel the Spirit. I don't feel like God is talking to me the way he used to." Could it be that you've been content with simply being called Christian, but never graduated to being a disciple?
Yes.
Jesus, in essence, says to his followers, "So far, the show has been free. If you want to go farther, if you want your life to change forever, then you've got to make a decision to follow me to the next level. But there's a catch. The next level ain't free. Being a disciple will cost you." So we see, brothers and sisters, that Christianity is free, but discipleship costs. Jesus is a gentleman, so he doesn't force it upon you, but rather he makes discipleship a decision. Next, we see that if you're going to go farther as a disciple, that discipleship, brothers and sisters, is self-denying. Discipleship is self-denying. Jesus says that discipleship means to deny self. This literally means to completely disown, to utterly separate oneself from someone. In other words, he's saying you've got to be willing to separate yourself from yourself. Now, many of us, we hear this and we think of a way to do that that benefits us. Y'all know, we think of things like, well, we hear, well, I can reject myself. I don't need to dessert anyway because it's the new year, and so I'm trying to work on my beach body, and so I'll just say no, I'm rejecting myself. I'll deny myself another outfit. I mean, I'm trying to save some money. I don't have that much left anyway since the new year, so I'll deny myself. But then some of us are real spiritual, and we get into an argument with somebody that has wronged us, and we really want to cuss them out, but then you say, I'm going to deny myself. I'm growing as a Christian, but I'm going to do a little better. I'm not going to tell them what I went. Not only that, I don't want to go to jail today either, and so I'm going to just deny myself. And we pat ourselves on the back and say, we have made it. We have arrived. Some of us view self-denial as merely rejecting some of the habits that we have. Don't get me wrong. Some of them habits we need to let go of, but self-denial here in the text is more than that. Let me see if I can help us. Abraham Maslow, American psychologist, who wanted to understand what motivated people beyond just the rewards and the desires. So in 1943, he came up with what many of us know as the hierarchy of needs. Y'all have heard about it. He gave the five basic needs. You got the biological, psychological, a need for air, food, and shelter. You got your safety need. You need some security, some stability, freedom from fear. Your need for love, friendship, intimacy, and trust. Your esteem need. You know, you got achievement. You want status. You want people to respect you. And then your self-actualization needs, your personal goals, your self-fulfillment. And many of us govern our lives around this. And the reason that many of us struggle with putting God first is that God does not fit into Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so many of us want God to fall somewhere that's convenient for us. And Jesus says, if you go move from simply being a Christian to being a disciple, you have got to be willing to push past even your own human desires to put God first. Jesus asks us to deny ourselves. We struggle with it because self-denial goes against our human nature. Jesus tells us that if we're going to be his disciples, then we have to be willing to reject our own self-interest in favor of his interest. In the text, we see that Jesus is looking for people who will put him first. Jesus is looking for believers who will say, I'm yours, Lord. Jesus is looking for believers who will say, have your way in my life, Lord. Jesus is looking for believers who will say, Lord, you have your way. Even if it's embarrassing to me sometimes, Lord, have your way in my life. Jesus is looking for believers who will put him first in spite of what folk will say about you, in spite of how folk will think about you. Believers who will say, Lord, I'm choosing you first in my life, no matter what. Jesus says here, here's how you know that you're ready to be my disciples. Because you're willing to take up your cross and follow me. Now, those who heard him during that time knew exactly what that meant, because the cross wasn't something that we just wore as an addendum to our Christianity. But for them, they understood that the cross is what somebody bore before they went to be crucified. Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me past the 16th chapter of this story, you've got to be willing to sacrifice yourself and your own interest in favor of God's interest. And I come by to help somebody here today, my brothers and my sisters, learn how to go to another level in your Christianity. Some of us sitting in here this morning have been a Christian since your mama brought you to church for the first time, and you've really been stuck right at that level, and you've never gone any further. But today, God sent me by, he's trying to call you further to another level in him, because he's got so much more for you. But the problem is, so many of us choose the path of least resistance. If I just show up on Sunday morning, God, I've done my duty. If I read my Bible, God, I think I'm a super Christian, and you owe me for that. But God is saying, I've got more for you, but it's going to cost you something. You've got to be willing to totally, utterly, and completely deny yourself, deny what society says you need in favor of my interests. This is interesting to me, because Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And then he starts talking about denying self. And I began to wonder, why? Why would he call his own follower Satan? Again, to study this, I began to look at it. It's not that he's necessarily calling Peter Satan, but he's calling Peter's will a worldly will, which is governed by Satan. In other words, Peter, when you put anything above God, you are doing the work of Satan. Okay. Yeah, I still think about Peter. See if I can bring it home a little bit closer for you. In other words, when you desire the new car more than you desire God, I can hear Jesus say, "Get behind me, Satan." When you desire your new job more than you desire to do the work and the will of God, I can hear Jesus say, "Get behind me, yes, sir, Satan." So many of us want the things of God, but we are not trying to prioritize God in our lives. So often, we go after what the world says is success, and not what God says is success. So Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you've got to be willing to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And it looks bad. It looks hard. It looks like being a disciple is something I just don't want to do. Looks like I'm better off being a Christian. I told y'all, brothers and sisters, I don't mind choosing the path of least resistance. Give me ways. Give me the shorter line at Walmart. Give me an easier way out. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says, listen, I'm going to tell you up front. Being a disciple is hard. However, he doesn't end like that. He says there are some rewards to it. It's right there in verses 26 and 27. Here's what he says. It says, what would it profit a man? Gains the whole world and forfeits his soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Then verse 27, he says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his glory of his Father and with his angels. And then I love how he ends it. And will then repay every man according to his deeds. Yeah. My brothers and my sisters, the world may have a nice house for you. The world may have a nice car for you. The world may even have more money for you. And I'm not saying any of that is bad. What I am saying, though, is when you make a decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, the third point is this, my brothers and sisters, I'm out of your way, that discipleship is rewarding. Now, I love it. Jesus shows us right there in the verse that when you make sacrifices and you begin to put God first, that discipleship is rewarding. Well, how is rewarding? He says, when I get into my Father's kingdom, the one who made everything, the one who made the houses, the cars, and the land, I'm going to reward you according to your deeds. I am going to reward you for your willingness and your desire to put God first in your life. And I don't know about you. I would rather to have God reward me than man reward me. I would rather have God bless me than man bless me. Why? Because God's blessings far exceeds man's blessings. How does the Bible put it? God will bless you beyond your measure to ask or even think, exceedingly and abundantly, it says. And my brothers and my sisters, is there anybody here that's made up in their mind, I will be a disciple even if it's sacrificing in my life, because God will bless me. And when God blesses me, what God has for me is for me. Can't nobody take it from me. Can't nobody remove it from me. God has something in store for you when you make a decision to put him above everything else in your life. Jesus is trying to help brothers who have been following him
for 16 chapters,
make it into the 17th chapter. Mm.
Jesus here gives them an out. Jesus says, you've come a long way. You've seen a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, you want to go write a book, you can write a book. You can say, I've seen Jesus heal people. You can say, I've walked on water with Jesus. You can say that. Be telling the truth. You can say, I sat down and Jesus had a personal conversation with me. You can say that and still be true. You get all the glory.